does it all. Beautiful, beautiful. I grew up in the height of the women's movement, and I was cheering from the sidelines as women were campaigning for equal rights and equal pay and equal treatment. It only seemed fair for women to have equal opportunity to use their brains and talents and to be equally recognized and rewarded for them. But I was also pulling for men, not for equal opportunity in the workplace, but for equal engagement at home. I figured that if men and women were both going to be active in the workplace, that men and women should both also be active in the home. Well, this was a very inspiring vision for me, and it was also radically different than the reality in my own home. So my mother was a stay-at-home mom. She was devoted to her husband and children, committed to keeping a clean house, having dinner on the table on time. Of course, she was so much more than that. She was our organizer, our scheduler, our nurturer, our best listener, cheerleader, wise counselor, and best friend. Mom was really the glue that held the family together. My dad was the breadwinner and the provider, distant, physically absent during the day, emotionally absent at night. So when he was home, the rule for my sister and I was to be seen but not heard. "Your father's had a hard day," my mom would say, which was code for be quiet or be gone. I think my father had what the wonderful author and men's counselor Jed Diamond calls irritable male syndrome. Maybe some of you out there can relate. But for a long time, I thought it was my fault that my father wasn't more engaged in my life. And it was only as an adult and after, honestly, years of therapy that I came to see it really wasn't about me. It was about him. My father loved me, but my father really didn't know how to love. He didn't know how to express love. My dad didn't know how to have a conversation without it being a lecture. He didn't listen to someone. He didn't know how to express any emotions other than anger or irritability. And he didn't know how to ever apologize or admit a mistake without losing face. In short, my father was emotionally cut off. He was shut away in his own internal world. And I find that rather tragic. I find that rather heartbreaking. How lonely for him, right? And for millions of other men. You know, emotionally cut off men suffer greatly. And they also unknowingly inflict psychological pain on others around them. You know, quite often a man who can't express his feelings, it's true that his father couldn't either. And so it gets passed on from generation to generation, and that's what I believe was the case for my own father. So there's a lot of unlearning to happen here. You know, I have found that for centuries, if we go back even in history, we find that for centuries, this macho stereotype that has prevailed has made it nearly impossible for men to be whole, vulnerable, feeling people. For a man to shed a tear or to express empathy or to ever admit or show any kind of struggle is taking a risk of being ridiculed or shamed. You know, there was a survey not too long ago that showed that what women fear most is being raped or murdered. Men's greatest fear is being laughed at. Wow. So emoting can actually feel dangerous. And I often find that when I'm having a conversation with a man, even today, that if I ask them how they're feeling, I gotta say, Well, how'd that make you feel? I get a blank look, as if to say, what language are you speaking? And I say that not from a point of criticism, but one of compassion. Often when a man is asked how he is feeling, he will respond instead with what he is thinking. As, for example, if you say, well, how did it feel when that car ran into you? And the man will say, like I need to call my insurance company. Well, that's not a feeling. That's a thought. This is really hard for us women to understand because this is so easy for us, right? We not only talk about our feelings easily, we talk about our feelings constantly. And so it seems to us that it should be very easy for men to do this also. But it isn't. The same as I know you men think it should be easy for us women to get to the point, right? And to be clear and direct about what we want. So I get it. It's a two-way street, a lot of learning opportunities on both sides. But the point is this, that men continue to carry the burden of old stereotypes and pressures and expectations around being tough and rugged and strong and invincible and dominant, right? It still is happening today. But at the same time today, men are also expected to be emotionally tuned in, or what we call SNAGs, which stands for Sensitive New Age Guys. Sensitive New Age Guys. Sensitive, but not too sensitive, right? So any male in America is bound to wonder, what is a man supposed to even be like these days? How am I supposed to show up? Tender or tough? Strong or sensitive? How am I supposed to be? I have a lot of empathy for you guys. I really do. Well, as you can imagine, there are a lot of divergent opinions about how men should be and what it means to be masculine. And one of the places that we find these divergent opinions is in religion. Yes. In particular, in Christianity, where we find a wide range of views, not only about the nature of God the Father, but also about the nature of Jesus the man. Now, in unity, we sort of think of Jesus as a highly evolved male who was fully expressing both his divine masculine and his divine feminine sides in perfect balance. But there are many fundamentalist Christians who see it very differently. In her wonderful, provocative book, Jesus and John Wayne, right? Author Kristen Cobus Dumais describes how white evangelicals, particularly men, are bent on reclaiming Jesus from quote-unquote feminization and instead portraying him as a crusading warrior Christ. Drawing from the raft of top-selling evangelical books on Christian masculinity in recent decades, Dumais describes how these authors dismiss as boring the Jesus who avoids confrontation and turns the other cheek. Bemoan the, quote, pale young man with, okay, let's say it again. Bemoan the, quote, pale young man with flabby forearms and a sad expression depicted on Sunday school walls across the nation that portrayed Jesus as a, quote, physical weakling, the sissified, meek and lowly man of sorrows. One author says, such a meek and gentle milquetoast character never could have inspired brawny fishermen like Peter to follow him. They say that Jesus might have preached a gospel of peace, but the book of Revelation showed that the suffering Messiah turned into the conquering Messiah. Mark Driscoll, the outspoken and controversial founding minister of the megachurch Mars Hill Church in Seattle, says Jesus was a hero, not a loser. Quote, an ultimate fighter warrior king with a tattoo down his leg who rides into battle against Satan, sin, and death on a trusty horse, just like in the Westerns. Evangelical author Steve Farrar finds songs about Christ's beauty especially galling. He wrote, quote, "If you went up to John Wayne and said he was beautiful, he would separate several of your molars and bicuspids in a new world order." Well, I find these depictions amusing, but also sad, right? Also sad. I mean, I think there's a lot of men, obviously, who think John Wayne is their only role model for masculinity. I believe that reflects a lot of male woundedness. Goes back to childhood issues and possibly to what Jed Diamond suggests, soul in the shape of their father. Not to mention, as Dumé writes, quote, "a nostalgic yearning for a mythical Christian America, a return to quote-unquote traditional gender roles, and the reassertion of white patriarchal authority." The fact is, men do have another role model besides John Wayne, and a very excellent one, the very best one, and that role model is Jesus. Those evangelical authors are just missing it. They're just missing it. Isn't that, that's just frustrating. perhaps because it's a higher order of masculinity that Jesus was epitomizing. You see, Jesus' life and message weren't about duality. It weren't about we, they, good, bad, the conqueror and the conquered. His message was love, inclusivity, empowerment, and oneness. That didn't make him a wuss. It made him a spiritual master, our way shower, our master teacher. His purpose was not to conquer and prevail over people, but to transform their consciousness, to change their lives, to help them discover the kingdom of heaven within them. Jesus embodied what it means to be a strong man, two words, versus a strong man, one word. He was courageous, determined, and visionary, but he was also kind, compassionate, and tender. You know, he may never have been a father himself. Maybe he was. We still don't know for sure, but he was fatherly. And he portrayed God, the Father, or Papa, as he called him, Abba, Papa, as loving, engaged, and caring. You know, in these tumultuous times, I believe Jesus' example is more relevant than ever. He wasn't macho. He didn't have to be. He was solid. He was solid within himself to be who he most truly and fully was. Well, there are encouraging signs that today's men are moving in that direction. We're certainly seeing it in the younger generations and in the young fathers today. Isn't it so that when you're out and about, you see young fathers everywhere with their children? They're out not only taking them to the park or going for walks, but they're taking them to the store and getting stuff done, right? They're playing with them. They're enjoying them. It's a new day for fatherhood, and hallelujah, hallelujah and amen on both sides of that. You know, I really see this in my son and my son-in-law, and so to all of those, to Ben and to Rich and to all of those engaged fathers out there, I want to say this. You are giving your children a precious and life-changing gift through your love and your care and your companionship. And you are also giving yourself a gift, right? Look at all that you would have missed out on. You're giving yourself the gift of the full joy of fatherhood and the full responsibility. And you're also giving yourself the gift of wholeness. I'm also very encouraged by the increasing number of resources available to men these days on their journey to growth and self-realization, the increased number of books and programs and workshops, and even TV programs and movies. I encourage you, if you're interested in this, to really check out Jed Diamond's website called Men Alive. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It's got some great articles on there. You know, Jed really sees the opportunity. He sees the need for men to have the attention, the support that they need to work through their challenges. And he said in a recent interview, he said, just as there is a council on the health and well-being of women, I believe we need a national council on the health and well-being of men. And I completely concur, and it is long overdue. And while we're at it, we need to show support for our boys. For our boys. Because they are going through so much in today's world. You know, the high school graduation for boys is lower than it is for girls. The college admission rate is lower for boys than it is for girls. The incarceration rate is higher for boys than it is for girls. They need us in whatever way we can. And I know we do a beautiful job at Unity Renaissance, helping and affirm, helping boys see their inherent value and worth, empowering them, really connecting with who they most deeply and truly are and being proud of it. We can all do more of that. And finally, I must say how encouraged I am by our men at Unity Renaissance. So, because Unity Renaissance men, by and large, as far as I know, are very sincere and very earnest about following in the footsteps of our way shower to be whole and fully expressed human beings. And we particularly see this in our wonderful men's group. I continue to be filled with such awe and appreciation. I really am. For our mighty men of Unity, as they call themselves, you know, they are fabulous for, you know, fixing and repairing things, installing things, moving heavy equipment, painting, and all of those things, but they are also exemplary. They're absolutely beautiful and magnificent about caring and giving and tending to those in need. You know, our men's group is here for all of us, and they're here for each other. And that may honestly be the very most important part, that our men are here for each other. Because men need friends. I mean, we all need friends. But men can tend to really isolate, and it can be harder and harder to develop friendships as you get older. So I want to salute Ed Rosequist, sitting right over there, as the head of our men's group, for making those opportunities available and to all you men who are involved in it. And if you haven't discovered it yet, I encourage you to check it out. They meet the second Saturday of each month at 9 o'clock right here. The next meeting is on July the 10th. A lot of good things are happening. The new masculinity is emerging. Not so macho, but so much more fulfilling. And to all of you men out there and all of you men here, I want you to know that we women are pulling for you, just as we are pulling for ourselves to come into wholeness. But for you to know how much we bless and appreciate the multidimensional human beings that you are. Yes. And as you step into greater and greater freedom and liberation, really, to express who you most completely are, we will be cheering for you every step of the way. Every step of the way. And as proof of that, in keeping with our Unity Renaissance tradition on Father's Day, I'd like to invite all the women to come forth, and we're going to give you a special song on Father's Day to celebrate our love and appreciation for you. Lyrics. Else need lyrics? Pass those over. Pass it down front.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Can tear me away from my God. Take a moment. You just sort of settle in. Take a moment of meditation, shall we? Appreciating that. Thank you, women, for the beautiful chorus. And Richard. But let's just take it down a notch now. Just settle into our hearts for a moment. Just breathing in and feeling this good energy of love and connection. Release and let it go. Breathing in, just letting peace wash over you. And let go. Just feeling yourself supported by your chair, by Mother Earth, by divine love. Allow yourself to turn your attention to your heart space, breathing in and out. Just very gently. Appreciating for a moment the father of your life, the man who helped give you life, made it possible for you to be here. And breathing gratitude, appreciation. Perhaps you had the most wonderful, loving, caring, supportive father. Perhaps you didn't or don't. Just take a moment now in this very sacred space, sacred energy, to send your father a blessing, wherever he is, on this earthly plane or beyond it. appreciating that your dad did the best he could at the level of consciousness he was at, that he was trying. And that he gave you gifts. And they may have chips, but there were also gifts. Take a moment now to just connect with your own father for a moment in the silence. Give thanks for the knowing that we are always connected at the heart level. We are always connected in spirit. On this Father's Day, we send out such love and gratitude to our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, stepfathers, foster fathers, father figures, all of them. Appreciating all men everywhere on their journey to wholeness. We're so grateful. And we say from our hearts, we love you. And so it is. So we let it be. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.